In 2016, the Oxford English Dictionary chose post-truth as its word of the year. It's defined as denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. In other words, truth claims are not necessarily dependent on pesky things like facts, logic, or reason. And rather, if something feels true, then we tend to accept it as true. And while powerful people have sought to manipulate the truth since the beginning of civilization, something changed in our society after 9/11. 24-hour news and social media exploded. It wasn't hard, and still isn't hard, to find one's preferred truth. And things haven't gotten any better. Very powerful people have a vested interest in keeping us siloed, propagandized, and divided. While some of you remember the political turbulence of the 1960s and the 70s, the assassinations of JFK, RFK, MLK, Vietnam, and Watergate, people my age and younger do not. So the times we're living in feel very different and scary. It's a time where it seems like we only accept the truth if it fits our worldviews and our prejudices. But today, on this very special Holy Trinity Sunday, where we gather to welcome two beautiful children into the Lord's family, the readings remind us that truth is not just a commodity to be exploited. Rather, the truth of God stands firm, despite the lies that saturate our hearts and minds. It's fitting that we start with Lady Wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is described as being present with God before there was a before. Wisdom is the joy and skill in creation. She is the animating force that infuses the entire cosmos. This description of Lady Wisdom deeply influenced how the early church understood Jesus, particularly in John's Gospel. Jesus, like Wisdom, is the Word present from eternity with God. And if we set aside, and for some of you theology nerds out there, and there are a few, I know there are a few pastors scattered around there. If we set aside some of the tricky language about how wisdom is created, which is not true of Jesus, the Word of God, we can understand Jesus as the wisdom and truth of God. Jesus reveals himself as the truth to his disciples just a couple chapters before our reading today in John 14. As these disciples who are grieving and hurting and confused, as they try to wrap their heads around his impending arrest and crucifixion, Jesus reminds them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way in a world filled with ideological back alleys and wrong turns. He is the truth in a world filled with lies, such as Caesar is God, or some people are better and worthier than other people. And he is the life in a world where death always appears to have the last word. So when Jesus tells his disciples again that he will send the Spirit of truth to guide them in the truth, they must have had some difficulty believing this. They knew what happened to those who became enemies of the powerful. Shortly, Jesus will be arrested by the combined forces of organized religion, specifically the temple establishment, and the Roman state. John makes clear why he's arrested back in chapter 11. After Jesus raises Lazarus, the temple bureaucrats are afraid. And they say, if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and will destroy both us, our holy place, and our nation. There is deep fear behind their actions. To them, Jesus is an existential threat. But paradoxically, Jesus crucified gives life. Jesus, crucified, begins the process of gathering into one the dispersed children of God, as we also hear in John chapter 11. Jesus, crucified, reveals the very heart of God to the world, a God who reveals God truthfully to the world. When God reveals God's self as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is not just a revelation about how God acts in the world. God is not simply our Father one moment, Jesus the next, the Holy Spirit the next, depending on the circumstance. These aren't simply masks. God is Father, Son, and Spirit in God's very nature. When God reveals God's self, God does so truthfully. God is community. God is relationality. And God is all of those things that make genuine relationship possible. Mercy, love, and especially truth. So when we baptize Bennett Lawrence and Maddie Marie in a few moments, they're baptized into the very truth of God's own nature, of God's very self. They become children of God who is relationship and who desires a relationship with the whole human family. So much so that God became human in the person of Jesus, suffered, died, and rose again for the life of the world. But this desire didn't just stop with Jesus' earthly sojourn. It continues with the Spirit's presence with us today, with Jesus' presence at that font and at that table. That Spirit of truth that Jesus promised his disciples is present today with us. And that Spirit will keep us in the truth and wisdom of God along with Bennett and Maddie until we are fully united with our Lord. So whatever is going on in the world, whatever violence plagues our state, our nation, or world, whatever lies are being pushed on us, we know that we belong not to a post-truth society. We belong to a post-post-truth society. That is the church. We're called to live in relationship and community with our triune God and with each other. We're called to see through the narrative that we're brought up in, that's pushed on us. A narrative that encourages hate and division, and to live God's narrative, to live God's dream of mercy, justice, peace, and especially love. Because we know that only God's way leads to life. Only God's way is the truth. God, help us to walk that way and to live in that truth. Always. Amen.